2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, if you would please tonight, if you have your Bibles with you, 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. While you're turning, I want to ask two people to come up here and help me. Kendall, I need you to help me again tonight, if you would please. Would you just come and stand right here off to my right? And then let's see, I'm looking for someone else to help me here. Where's your brother? Is James here tonight? Did James play hooky from church? There he is in the back. Bless your heart. He thought he was in trouble again because I sounded like his dad. Well, come on up, would you please? Come on up, Brother James. Bless your heart. No, I love James. I love his spirit. Love everything about him. He's a servant. And I appreciate that. I really do. I want you to stand right here if you would. And Kendall, if you'd face that direction, buddy, the wall. And then if you'd just sort of face your brother's back. I want to draw a little bit of an analogy or a diagram for you tonight before we turn our attention to the scriptures. Let me ask you a couple of questions and I'd like you to answer back to me. Those of you that know anything about the Bible, the next event on God's prophetic timetable is an event that begins with the letter R. Somebody tell me what that event is called. The rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I want you, Brother Kendall, to represent that next event called the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4 says, the Lord is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, that is those who have received Christ as Savior, but have already died, they're going to come out of their graves, and they're going to go up to be with the Lord Jesus. And then the Bible says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The next event on God's prophetic timetable, and by the way, there is a best-selling book series and a best-selling movie by the title Left Behind. By the way, I would encourage you to read that book series. I don't agree with everything it says, but the whole gist of it overall, I really do. The next event is this event called the rapture, when we who know Christ as Savior are snatched out of this earth in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says, according to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Following this event that Kendall represents, presents the rapture of the church or the rapture of those that are saved, the catching away of those that know Christ, there is going to come a period of time, and I want from you to you, James, I want this period of time to be representative of that 7-year period of time that the Bible describes both in the book of Revelation and in the book of Daniel as a period of time called the tribulation period. It is 7 years in duration. It is divided into 2 3.5-year increments. In the first 3.5 years of this 7-year period of time called the tribulation, a person is going to come from off the stage of human history and walk out onto the stage of human history, predicted by the Bible, a person called the Antichrist. Now, the Antichrist is not the man's name. That is his title. He will have a name, Pastor, much like you have a name, much like I have a name. But his title, according to the Bible, is Antichrist. He's going to come on the scene as a great peacemaker. Friends, keep your eyes glued to your television set when you watch the evening news. Read the newspaper and read it carefully. The hot spot of the world, the centerpiece of the world right now, is the Middle East, and there is turmoil unprecedented there. We have it in Iraq. We have it in the nation of Israel. We have the Palestinians against the Israelis, and we have all that turmoil going on, and the world is crying out right now for someone who can bring peace to that troubled section of the world. Folk, there's going to come a man that's going to seemingly have in his pocket, when he steps onto the stage of human history, a peace plan that's going to answer all the Palestinian-Israeli problem, bring all peace to Iraq. There's going to be a guy that's going to seem to have the answer. His title is Antichrist. However, for 3.5 years, Pastor, he's going to appear to have a peace plan in place. However, at the midpoint of that 7-year tribulation, Antichrist is going to do something the Bible describes in the book of Daniel. He's going to manifest himself as who he really is, Pastor. He is actually no peacemaker at all. He is the great imposter. He is a deceiver. And the Bible says the last 3.5 years of that 7-year tribulation, he is going to persecute God's people mercilessly. It is called the time of Jacob's trouble. Read your Bible sometime. It's an unprecedented time where Antichrist vents his frustration against the people of God. At the end of that 7-year tribulation, Jesus Christ, who came back here, for those of us that know him as Savior, is going to come back with us, and he's going to set up on this earth a 1,000-year reign where he literally reigns from the city of Jerusalem and rules and reigns for 1,000 years. You say, preacher, you don't really believe that's going to happen. Sure do, because the Bible says so. And friend, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Pastor, I have learned this by experience. I can put all my confidence in what God has to say in his word. Now, I can't trust what a lot of people say, but I can totally trust what God says, and so can you. Now, I'm drawing you this diagram because what I want to do is this. I want to focus in on this person called the Antichrist, because the Bible has much to say about him. Remember, this is the rapture of the church. Here we are living in a time period but before the rapture called the church age. The next event is this event called the rapture, and following the rapture of the church onto the stage of human history is going to walk this person called the Antichrist. Now, having said that, gentlemen, thank you so much. You may be seated. Look at your Bible, if you would, please. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 1. I want to preach to you tonight on this subject, the appearance of the Antichrist. The appearance of the Antichrist. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him." That phrase, gathering together unto Him, is a reference to the event that Kendall stood here and represented. That event called the rapture, when God's people, those and only those who are saved, are snatched out of this earth. "We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." What had happened, friends, somebody had been traveling through the church at Thessalonica, the church to whom Paul is writing here under inspiration of the Spirit, and they'd been circulating an idea that you Thessalonican people, you Thessalonians have already missed the coming of the Lord. You are already in this time of the world history called the tribulation. Paul says, "No, I don't want you to be deceived. I don't want you to be confused. The day of the Lord has not yet occurred. Jesus has not come back yet in this event called the rapture. Certain things have got to happen before He does that." Now watch verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day," the day of the Lord Jesus' return, when He comes to take out those that are saved, that day shall not come except there come a falling away first. Now, friends, look up at me. The words "falling away" in your English Bible are actually one word in the original language, the Greek language that the Bible was inspired in. It is the Greek word apostasia. "Let no man deceive you, for the day of the Lord's return shall not come except there come an apostasy first." A falling away. Pastor, the word apostasy, falling away, has a reference to a falling away from what was one time believed. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, you and I are living in that time period called the apostasy. You say, "Preacher, how's that?" Do you know there was a time in the United States of America, and I am not trying to be political. Pastor, here's my opinion about politics and the political parties. One of those parties is a skunk, the other's a smell, and you folk can decide which is which, all right? I am not being political, but I am saying this. There was a time in the United States of America when we believed that the world was created by the direct act of a holy God. That was taught in the public education system, that we did not just evolve from some lower life form. Literally, we were created by a direct act of God. Do you know we have fallen away from that? Pastor, now this absolutely ridiculous thing is being taught called evolution. And friends, that is a falling away from what we one time believed as a nation and as the world. And you and I have lived in the time period while it's unfolded, and we've watched it happen. Pastor, do you know one time we also believed this, but we've fallen away from it? We believed in the sanctity of human life. We believed that the unborn inside the womb after conception, that was a living, vital, vibrant person. Do you know what? We've fallen away from that now, and we call that, at least our government does, a fetus, and it can be aborted all the way almost right up until the delivery date. That is a falling away from what we one time believed. Now, folks, you and I have watched that happen. Paul said, look for that. The day of the Lord is not going to occur except there come a falling away first. Watch the rest of verse number 3, if you would, please. "And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." The man of sin is a reference to this person I want to talk to you about tonight called the Antichrist. Now, I want you to do four things tonight. I want you to write down four words, and I want to sum everything I'm going to say tonight up around those four words. The Antichrist, according to 2 Thessalonians 2, is described here in four words. Number one, I want you to see his character. That is his character. Antichrist is going to have a particular kind of character. This great deceiver. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Notice the phrases in the Bible that describe his character. Verse number 3. The Bible says he is called the man of sin. Now, folks, look up at me. The word sin literally means the man of willful defiance.
That is, Pastor, when Antichrist comes on the scene, though he appears to be a great peacemaker, though he appears to have the answer to all the Middle East problems, he is actually no peacemaker at all. He is a man of willful defiance. Now, folk, if that is true, and it is because the Bible says so, then for Antichrist to step out onto the stage of human history, something has to pave the way for this defiant individual to come. You say, preacher, what's paving the way? Friend, you and I are watching it. Do you know our culture has become increasingly over the last several years a defiant culture? Have you noticed that? By the way, a number of years ago, Pastor, and I never made the habit of watching the Geraldo show when it was on TV, but I was watching because it was advertised one day that on that show they were going to have this guy, and I can't remember the guy's name, but I remember the name of the group. They were going to have the leader of this infamous rap group called Two Live Crew, and there was a whole controversy stirring and brewing in Florida, southern part of Florida, because this rap group had gone down in there and they were trying to sing their four-letter expletives and their lyrics, their filthy lyrics, in nightclubs all over Florida. And thank the Lord, Frank Navarro, the sheriff of Dade County, Florida, said, you're not coming in here and you're not singing all that junk in my county. And they said, we're coming anyway. And Pastor, they did, and stood up on stages and used all kinds of four-letter words and did some unbelievable things in their act. And there was a lawsuit that resulted. And as a result of the lawsuit, Geraldo Rivera had the leader of this rap group on his show. So I said, I want to see what that guy has to say. When the show started, Pastor, they had chairs up on the platform, just like they always do on the Geraldo show. And I noticed the guy who's the leader of this notorious rap group was sitting up there on the platform like this, slid down all the way, sitting on his back part of his neck. I mean, you know, the way they do, just like this. And Geraldo went through the show and set it up. And then he took that wireless microphone and ran out into the crowd. And he was going to let people ask questions like you've seen him do. And people were asking questions, directing them to that guy up on the stage. And finally, over here in Geraldo's little studio, a lady probably in her mid-60s raised her hand. Geraldo said, yes, ma'am, I'll be right there. Hope this doesn't squeak. He ran over here and he handed the microphone to this 60-some-year-old lady, and she took the microphone out of Geraldo's hand. I said, three cheers for her right there already. I'm for her. She not only took the microphone out of Geraldo's hand, she stepped out into the aisle and started walking toward that guy up on the stage. As she's walking toward him, she was saying this, young man, you know what needs to happen to you? She said, young man, you know what needs to happen to you? You need to get born again by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Pastor, I couldn't believe that. On the Geraldo show, she said, you need to get saved. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then she said, young man, you know what you need to do after that? You need to take the voice that God's given you, and you need to quit using all these four-letter expletives, and you need to lift your voice in praise to Jesus Christ. Geraldo's trying to get the microphone back from her as quick as he can. I'm there at my TV set about to have literally a fit going, yes, ma'am, you go, Grandma. You go, Grandma. I mean, it was awesome. When Geraldo got the microphone back from that lady and she went and sat back down, they turned the camera, Pastor, to that guy sitting up there on the stage. Can I show you what he did? He sat there, Pastor, on his neck and then sat up and did this. Like, you idiot. And then he stood up, walked toward that lady that was old enough to be his grandmother, and they had to bleep out, Pastor, every other word, as he defied her and then turned his vehement anger and his defiant spirit, not just against her, but against the God of heaven. Do you know what that is, friends? That is nothing less than the unbridled spirit of the Antichrist. Somebody's paving the way for this guy whose character is willful defiance. Now, folk, listen to me. I love young people. I do. However, mom and dad, you and I in our homes are not exempt from this spirit. Pastor, I was invited to speak at a school very different than Brother Mark, the school I spoke in this morning, your school. I thank God for that. That was a real blessing to me. However, I was invited to go to this school and speak, Christian school. I got there, they didn't know me, I didn't know them. I noticed, Pastor, the guy up front who was in charge led one verse of one song, and as he's ending the song, he's fleeing the scene of the accident, and he literally did this. He said, "Brother Kister, come on," and he's trying to get off the platform as quick as he can, and I'm wondering, "Brother Jose, what in the world is going on? Why is he trying to get off the platform and turn it over to me so quick?" Well, I thought, man, I'm going to have plenty of time, so I walked up onto the platform, and I looked out, and Pastor, the minute I walked up, down here on the front two rows were all the juniors and seniors. Behind them were all the other young people, some 300 of them. And I noticed when I got up, now they didn't know me, Kendall, so they weren't biased against me. When I said, "Open your Bibles," you know what they all did? All the juniors and seniors put their elbow on the seat in front of them, put their head down, and were going to sleep. Now, I'm not sure, Pastor, what you would have done. Well, I think I do know what you would have done. Now, I love young people. I do. But you know what, folks? We just don't have common courtesy anymore in America. So I said, "Guys, hey, listen. Hey, look up. I know you don't know me and I don't know you, and I'm not going to take much of your time, but I do want to talk to you for a second. Would you guys just kind of look up at me for just a second? I mean, just raise your head." And you know what? They raised their head and looked at each other like, "Man, where did this guy come from? He's actually expecting us to listen." And they rolled their eyes at each other. Pastor, if they looked at me for 30 seconds, that was it. And then back up came their arms, down went their head. It was an absolute struggle the entire time, and I took probably 15 minutes max and decided, you know, really, I probably ought just end, and I did. Do you know what that is among Christian young people? That is the unbridled spirit of the Antichrist, the man of sin. Folk, you watch it. We are living now in a culture that says, "Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Nobody." All that is a road being paved for a person, the Bible calls the Antichrist, to come on the scene. His character is the man of willful defiance. Now, what's your Bible? He is also called a second thing. Not only the man of sin, the man of willful defiance, he is described in character. Notice the next phrase in verse 3, the son of perdition. The son of perdition. You say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" The word perdition literally means destruction, or it can literally mean hell. That is, Pastor, in character, this person who comes as a peacemaker is in character actually a willfully defiant person. He is, in essence, the son of hell itself. Now, friends, have you noticed all over our American culture and worldwide, there is a dramatic increase in that which looks like it sprang right out of the pit of hell? Have any of you watched the Saturday morning cartoons recently? Anybody done that? Folk, if you'll watch them, you'll notice this. It is no longer Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. It is creatures and characters that literally look like they sprang out of hell itself. You say, "Preacher, where's all this stuff coming from? Why is there such an emphasis on hell, and why is the rock music industry filled with allusions to death and hell and 666 and all of this stuff? What is all this that's going on?" I'll tell you what it is. It's the devil paving the way for the Antichrist to come on the scene. Kendall, I went to the mall not long ago, and I stood in line at a Chick-fil-A to get something for my children, and in front of me is a teenager. Seemed to be a real nice person as far as I could tell, standing there, and I got to looking at the t-shirt that they had on, the back of it, and I noticed on the back of the t-shirt in two columns were cities listed. And I began to notice those cities were places where some rock group had been having their concerts that year, or were going to have their concerts that year. And then I noticed superimposed in screen print behind all those cities was some type of character or some type of figure. And the closer I looked, the more I began to see what it was. And Pastor, honestly, when I saw what it was, I couldn't believe it. It was a combination of hellishness and vulgarity and pornography all wrapped up into one. You say, "Teenagers are wearing that today." You know what? They are. Where's it coming from? It's coming from the devil, who is paving the way for a person called the Antichrist. He is in character the son of hell
itself. Now I want you to watch your Bible. One last statement is made to describe Antichrist's character. Not only is he the man of sin, the man of willful defiance, the son of perdition, the son of hell. Drop down if you would please to verse number 8. The Bible says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed." It literally means "that wicked one." Antichrist in character is described as the man of sin, the man of willful defiance, the son of perdition, the son of hell. Number 3, the wicked one. You say, "Preacher, what does that mean?" Pastor, the word wicked literally means lawless. That lawless one. You see, Antichrist in character is a lawless individual. Why is there a dramatic rise in lawlessness in the United States of America? It's all preparation for the Antichrist. Pastor, I saw this in the Charlotte Observer. There was a young man at a public high school, South Charlotte High School, who literally did this. He saw another one of his classmates wearing a sports jacket, Jose, from some professional sports team. And that other young man who did not have one said, "I want that jacket." When school was over, he chased the young man who owned the jacket several blocks. When he got the young man alone, he took out a knife and knifed the young man to death in a lawless, unbelievably vicious fashion. And whenever they tracked him down, he was wearing the jacket he stole from the dead boy's body. They asked him, "Why did you do it?" He said, "Because I wanted it, and if I want it, I'm going to have it." Where is that attitude coming from? It's preparation for a person whose character is lawless. Antichrist's character, number 2, I want you to see something else. Not only does the Bible describe his character, number 2, it describes his conduct. Now watch 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse number 4. "Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he," Antichrist, "as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." During this 7-year tribulation period, Antichrist is going to walk into a temple that's going to be rebuilt in the city of Jerusalem and knock aside anything to do with God and proclaim himself to be God. His character is lawless, willfully defiant, the son of hell. Number 2, his conduct, though, Pastor, is this. He is against anything to do with Jesus Christ. That's why he's called Antichrist. Verse 4 says, "He opposes and exalts." He opposes and exalts. That is, he opposes anything to do with Jesus Christ. He exalts himself above anything to do with Jesus Christ. Friend, have you noticed in America, everybody's got rights, except those of us who are right and we don't have rights anymore. Have you ever noticed that? Have you noticed that there are certain things you cannot do anymore in America? Forgive me, I'm not trying to be unkind. I'm from North Carolina. But Pastor, in North Carolina, if you want to don a hood, a white hood, and you want to hold a KKK meeting in parts of North Carolina, you can get a permit to do that. You can get a permit to do that in downtown Hickory, North Carolina. But you know what? You cannot obtain a permit to stand in downtown Hickory, open up your Bible, and preach the Word of God. You say, "Preacher, why do they allow those wicked KKK members to do their thing, but they won't allow a preacher to stand up and preach the Word of God?" Can I tell you why they don't allow it? Because there's a spirit now that's paving the way for a person called the Antichrist. And everything going on in our culture opposes anything to do with Jesus and exalts itself above anything to do with Jesus. Now, let me show you what I'm talking about. Pastor, a number of years ago, we were in West Virginia for a meeting. The week we were there happened to be the week of the National Day of Prayer. The pastor we were with came to me and said, "Dave, Thursday is the National Day of Prayer." He said, "What do you think about this? What if I called all the pastors in the area that believe the Bible and preach the Bible, and we all got together and met down at at City Hall there in Lewisburg, West Virginia, and what if we had prayer and singing right on the steps of City Hall? What would you think?" I said, "Man, I think it'd be a great thing." So he made phone calls and called every person, every preacher there that believed the Bible and said, "Listen, on Wednesday night, announce to your folk, we're going to meet at City Hall. Anybody that wants to come, we're going to sing, we're going to pray, and ask God to turn our nation back to God." Pastor, on Thursday, some 60 people, some preachers and some of the members of the churches, met on the steps of City Hall, and one particular pastor, Yule Altizer, the pastor I was with, he has a big booming voice like you do, Jose, he stood up on the steps and said, "Let's sing that great song, How Great Thou Art." He just
started singing, "Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder," and everybody, all 60 of us, started chiming in with him, singing the four parts, "Then sings my soul." It was awesome. It was beautiful, echoing through the town of Lewisburg, West Virginia. Pastor, while we're enjoying that, all of a sudden across the street, I hear this. I hear two cars pull up. And they stop. I hear doors open. Boom, boom. Doors close. Boom, boom. I turned and looked, and standing on the other side of the street, looking over to where we were on the courthouse steps, watching us, trying to wait for the traffic to get by so they could come over and get us, were two Lewisburg police officers. Pastor, when the traffic cleared, those two guys started across the road, both of them. They started across the road, and all of a sudden, they stopped like this. Now, I was thinking this. You know what just happened? You know why they stopped in the middle of the road and didn't keep coming? The Lord's defending us, and He's dropped an acrylic wall down right in front of them, and they've run into it with their nose. That's what I thought happened, because they stopped so abruptly. They turned around, went back across the street, stood there with their arms folded, and just watched us. Folk, it was not an acrylic wall that God dropped down. Standing there with us, Kendall, singing, "How great thou art, how great thou art." Standing there singing that in a dapper gray suit with a black cane with a gold tip up here on the handle. Standing there singing was the mayor of Lewisburg. "How great thou art." Those two police officers were going to come and make us disband. And they saw the mayor and thought, whoops, better not do that. And they retreated. However, friends, can I say this? Had the mayor not been there, they would have made us disband. Why can you not gather and do that and we weren't hurting anybody? Because our culture now has been thoroughly indoctrinated with the spirit of the Antichrist. Everything is against Jesus. Have you noticed that? By the way, read sometime the book of Revelation chapter 13. Antichrist is against Jesus and the exact opposite of Jesus. Pastor, you know the Bible says Jesus is called the Lamb of God. That is, Jesus Christ, friend, is lamb-like in His disposition. He loves you. He'll not do you evil. He'll do you good all the days of your life. That's why I don't understand anybody that's unsaved, why they wouldn't want to come to Jesus. He'll be the greatest friend you ever have. He'll wash your sin away and give you assurance of a home in heaven. He's called the Lamb of God. Do you know what Revelation 13 calls the Antichrist? He's called the Beast. That is, He is exactly opposite of what Jesus is. Do you know the Bible says Jesus Christ, when He came to this earth, Pastor, had a 3.5-year ministry on this earth. During those 3.5 years, He did good. He went about healing. He went about being a blessing to people. Do you know the Bible says during that 7-year period of time called the tribulation, Antichrist is going to come on the scene. And for the first 3.5 years, He's going to appear to be a peacemaker. But Pastor, the last 3.5 years, Antichrist is going to have a ministry. But it is not blessing. It is bedlam and destruction. He's the opposite of Jesus. Jesus has a city. The Bible describes it. It's called New Jerusalem. Did you know Antichrist has a city? Revelation 17 and 18, it's called Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. See, Jesus is holy. He's sinless. Antichrist is corrupt. He's the total opposite of everything Jesus is. Yet He comes appearing to be the great peacemaker. In conduct, though, He is against everything that Jesus is and everything the Bible stands for. His character, His conduct, number three. I want you to see a third thing. I want you to see His craft. His craft. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Antichrist is going to practice a craft unlike anybody before Him. Look at verse number 9, if you would, please. The Bible says, even him, talking about Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan. When this great peacemaker, the one the world is waiting for right now, steps on the scene, he's going to come after the working of Satan, literally after the energizing of Satan himself. Watch what the Bible says Satan allows him to do. Even him whose coming is after the working, the energizing of Satan, with all power and signs, and what kind of wonders? Lying wonders. Verse number 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Now I want you to take your Bible and turn back to the Old Testament, to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter number 8, and I want to show you what the Old Testament describes about this person called the Antichrist. Daniel chapter number 8, and I want you to look, if you would please, at verse 23. His craft, friends, is going to be unlike any other before him. You say, preacher, what is his craft? Look at Daniel 8, verse 23. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king, this is a reference to this person called the Antichrist, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences. The words dark sentences mean riddles. That is, when Antichrist comes on the scene, he's going to understand economic riddles. He's going to seem to have all the answers. A king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up. Now watch verse 24. And his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. In other words, he's going to be an incredibly powerful person, but he's not getting his power just from himself. Not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully. The word wonderfully means awesomely. It's going to be awesome how Antichrist makes destruction of anything that's right and decent. Watch the rest of the verse. And shall prosper in practice, and shall destroy the mighty and the holy people. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper in his hand. Now, ladies and gentlemen, look up at me. The word craft means deceit. The craft of Antichrist is going to be, plain and simple, deception. Deception. You know, I struggled, Pastor, to figure out how people could be deceived by a person called the Antichrist. Forgive me. Until 12 years ago. Now, folks, don't get mad at me. But 12 years ago, we had a man elected to the highest office in the land. You know what? He looked into your face via television camera and looked right into my face via television camera and said, I did not have improper relations with that woman, Monica Lewinsky, and swore up and down he didn't do it. Well, friends, the truth came out as the truth always does, and he was impeached, not removed from office, but went through impeachment proceedings. And Pastor, you know what? Even though all that happened, he got reelected. How in the world could that happen? Can I tell you how it happened? Because one thing reigned supreme, and people said it's all about the money. See, if our pocketbooks are full, gas prices are good, you know what? We're a happy group of campers, aren't we, across the United States? Character doesn't matter, does it? That guy could lie through his teeth and even parse the word is. Well, it means depends on how you define the word is as to whether or not I was immoral. That's exactly what he said. And he drew a country after him and got reelected. Friends, there's going to come the great deceiver, Antichrist. And he's going to draw the world after him. And he's going to practice deceit unprecedented. You say, how's he going to do it? I wish I had time to turn you to Revelation 13 and show you, and I don't. So just listen. Pastor, the Bible says Antichrist, when he comes on the scene, is going to cause people to take a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. And according to Revelation 13, men and women and young people will not buy or sell unless they've got the mark of the beast, the mark of the Antichrist in their right hand or in their forehead. The Bible goes on and says, here is wisdom. His number is the number of a man. It is 600, 666, or plain English, the number of the Antichrist is 666. A number of years ago, I was in Tennessee in a meeting, and Pastor, there was a man in the church who said something to me that made no sense at the time. This was about 13 years ago. He said, Dave, have you ever wondered what the number of the beast that people are going to have to take during the tribulation, or they won't buy and sell without it? Have you ever wondered what that number might be? I said, oh yes, I've wondered a lot. He said, Dave, what I believe it is going to be is this. He said, I used to work in the government in these areas. He said, there is a thing called a genetic code. It's called DNA. Pastor, I'd never even heard the letters DNA in that order describing the molecular makeup of a person's blood. I'd never really heard that. He said, there's a DNA molecular makeup, and he said, they can encrypt that or encode that. And he said, a person's DNA is as unique as their fingerprints. They're all different. He said, what I think Antichrist is going to do is he's going to have a mark with the prefix 666, and then every person will have some kind of DNA molecular code number that will follow that, and people will have to present that.
Or they can't purchase something at a grocery store or a convenience store or a gas station. Or a lady can't get her hair fixed during the tribulation without that number. I thought, man, you're off the wall. However, Pastor, the O.J. Simpson trial changed everything because DNA rose to the forefront, didn't it? And everybody talked about it has to be O.J. because it's his DNA, it's his blood. Friends, you know what? The longer I live, the more I believe that guy was onto something. By the way, now you have to have a number for everything, don't you? Or you can't just about purchase. That good old American dollar is almost no good anymore. Pastor, every time I walk through a checkout line just about, they'll say, cash or credit card? And I always want to say, well, if cash is still good here, I'm going to use cash. Because almost now, you just don't need it, do you? However, friends, there's going to come a day when Antichrist is going to use all the technology that we have right now, and he's going to cause people to take a mark. You see, how's he going to cause them to do that? Well, he's going to have to know a lot about how we operate, where we live, who we are. And boy, there's a lot of technology out there right now that allows government officials to know all of those things. I was with a guy on an airplane, Pastor, a number of months back. In fact, it's been probably 2 years ago. I was flying to the state of Wisconsin, to Green Bay. I looked at the guy and I said, sir, what do you do for a living? And he gave some big fancy title, Jose, I don't remember now all it was. He said, really what I do is, he said, I design computer software for this new system called OnStar. He said, have you ever heard of OnStar? How many of you have ever heard of OnStar? I said, oh yes, I've heard of OnStar. They put it on all the luxury vehicles. He said, yep, that's it. He said, do you know anything about OnStar? I said, I only know that there's a little blue button with on and a star in it. And you push that if you have a problem. He said, well, then you don't know much. I said, you're exactly right. I don't. Inform me. Help me. He said, well, did you know that the OnStar thing is actually a system whereby an OnStar representative sitting at a computer monitor 1,000 miles away from where you are can actually talk to you through the speakers of your automobile? I said, no kidding. He said, no kidding. He said, in fact, there was a lady who drove her new Cadillac off the road. She went into a pond and she had OnStar on her system, on her Cadillac. She pushed the little blue button and OnStar rep comes on and says, yes, ma'am, may I help you? She said, listen, I've driven off the road. I'm submerged in a lake. And the OnStar representative says, I'm looking at a grid with a map and I see right where you are. We'll have some rescue vehicles and emergency vehicles there in a matter of minutes. He said, Dave, they got emergency vehicles to where that lady was located in 5 minutes and pulled that car out of the water, got her out, saved her life. Isn't that awesome? I said, that's awesome stuff. He said, Dave, do you know also OnStar can do this? If your vehicle is stolen, if you have OnStar on it, he said, they give you a number that you can call, and then you have a security code that they also give you. And if your car is stolen, you can call the OnStar rep 1,000 miles away, and a guy sitting behind a computer terminal, all you have to do is give him your code that lets him know you are the owner of the car, and you say, hey, my car's stolen. He said, did you know the OnStar rep can shut down your engine on your vehicle from 1,000 miles away? Lock the doors and keep the thief inside until the police arrive. I thought at first, man, that's neat stuff. And then I got to thinking and I asked the guy this. I said, sir, let me ask you something. I said, what would keep the OnStar representative from locking my doors and shutting off my engine with me inside? The owner, if he chose to do so. He said, oh, they'd never do that. I said, let me ask you this. When you have OnStar, you communicate just through the system itself and they talk to you through the speakers and you talk back to them. He said, that's it. I said, let me ask you something. Would they ever consider listening to your conversations with your family without you having knowledge of it? He said, oh no, they'd never do that. And you know, I wanted to say, sir, if you believe that, I've got some oceanfront property to sell you. The point is this. The technology is now there where people know where we are. I was with a friend of mine, board member Lonnie Robinson. You know him, Jose. He has OnStar on his Chevy Suburban. He said, Dave, watch this. He pushed a button and said, I'd like to speak to a rep. Rep comes on. He says, Mr. Robinson, may I help you? He said, yes. He said, can you tell me where I am? The guy chuckled on the other end, and I heard him say this, you must be showing the system to someone. And Lonnie said, I am. Tell me where I am. He said, you're located on, and he gave the exact road between this road and this road, and he gave the position we were as we were driving. Lonnie said, now you ask him something. I said, sir, I'd like to know this. I'm from Hickory, North Carolina. Can you tell me what restaurants there are at exit 125 off Interstate 40 in Hickory, North Carolina? He said, well, we have the following restaurants. We have an Outback Steakhouse, which we do. We have a Holiday Inn restaurant that's part of the hotel at Holiday Inn, which we do. He said, we have another steakhouse called Prime Steakhouse, and we have the following fast food restaurants, and he went through every one of them. Pastor, he was 100% accurate. He said, is there anything else I can do for you? I said, I've seen enough and heard enough. Lonnie said, no, thank you. That's it. I said, brother, that's incredible. Somebody has technology to know right where you are. You say, preacher, that doesn't prove anything. That may not, but this will. Any of you ever been in England or Europe? Pastor, 6 years ago I was in Europe. The missionary said, Dave, I'm going to the grocery store. Do you need anything from the grocery store? I said to my wife, honey, do we need anything? She said, get some milk, some bread, a little bit of cheese, and also pick up some Advil because I've got a terrible headache. I said, all right, we'll go. I said, let's go, Brother Larry. So the missionary and I drove to a British grocery store, and we got our items, got in line, and Pastor, in front of us, I would not have believed it had I not seen it. In front of us is a guy who has all his groceries up on the conveyor. He gets it all rung up, and the gal says it'll be this number of dollars and this number of cents. I thought the guy will pull his wallet out and he'll pay in cash, or he'll pull out a credit card and pay that way. He did neither. When she gave him the amount of his purchase, Pastor, he took his hand, turned it upside down, ran it over that little device that reads the universal product code, the UPC code. Everybody know what I'm talking about? When he swashed his hand across that thing, the little thing went bleep, bleep, and it read something. Forgive me, but I'm a Yank, an American in England. I'm looking at the missionary and I'm going, did you see that? Did you see that? He said, yes. I said, are you going to ask or am I? He said, go ahead. I said, sir, pardon me just a second. What was that? He looked at me and said, as they've said before, you're not from around here, are you? I said, no, I'm not. I understand. My speech betrays me. He said, my World Bank account number has been embedded under my skin. He said, the amount of my purchase here today was just deducted from my World Bank account. Now, friends, listen to me. Had I not seen that with my eyes, I would have not believed we were there yet. I said to missionary Larry Curtis, Larry, what is this? Can you see how Antichrist, all the technology is there for the mark to now be required? He said, Dave, England is behind. They've drugged their feet on this technology. The rest of Europe is way ahead of us, miles ahead. England's drugged their feet. He said, but yes, the technology's out there. Now, folks, listen very carefully. With cases like JonBenet Ramsey and other kids that are abducted and killed, you listen, friends, they're going to push and push and push, even this side of the Atlantic. They're going to push for us to have embedded in our children's bodies, here or somewhere, a code whereby they can be located. They're already doing it with animals. And they'll perfect it and do it with humans. Antichrist is going to make people take a mark. And you won't buy or sell unless you have it. All that's going to happen during the 7-year period of time called the tribulation. Prior to all this beginning, Jesus comes back, the event depicted by Kendall, and Jesus takes out of this earth only those who have met Him as Savior. Those who have not received Him as Savior are left behind to go through this 7-year period of time. Left behind to be told by this person called the Antichrist, line up and take the mark or you won't buy or sell. And you know what, Pastor? People are going to line up to take it. And according to the Bible, when you take that mark, your eternal fate is forever settled. Now I want you to watch 2 Thessalonians 2, verse number 10. The Bible again says, and with all deceivableness, there's the craft of Antichrist, deception, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That is, if you would not be saved before Jesus comes back to take those of us that are saved out of here, if you enter the tribulation and you don't know Christ, you are going to be deceived and you're going to take the mark. Not just is Antichrist going to deceive you, but watch verse 11. God enters the picture. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Why is God going to delude people that would not come to Jesus and be saved? For this cause, what cause? Watch the rest of the verse. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, literally the lie of the Antichrist. Verse 12, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Pastor, you said it so well on Sunday. You remember how Pharaoh hardened his heart. And Pharaoh hardened his heart and said, no, I'm not going to listen to God. Pharaoh hardened his heart. And then after Pharaoh hardens his heart, God enters the picture and he starts hardening Pharaoh's heart. Do you know what? In the end of time, you won't believe the truth. You reject Jesus Christ. The rapture occurs. You go into the tribulation. God enters the picture. And he sends a strong delusion. Why? Because you wouldn't believe the truth. And you wouldn't come to him. You say, that can't be right. God couldn't be just and do that. Oh, yes, he can. How many of us in this room that do not know Christ have heard the message of the gospel over and over? You need to be saved, but you reject it, reject it, reject it, reject it. Pastor, you quoted it according to Genesis 6. There comes a time when God's Spirit does not strive with men anymore. He says, all right, enough's enough. And he lets you go your way. And he begins acting and says, no more chance for you. And friend, there is no more chance. Antichrist's character, his conduct, his craft. Number four, I want you to turn to Revelation 19. I want you to see his condemnation. I want to read one verse to you, two verses, excuse me, and then we're done. I want you to see this, his condemnation. Remember, Antichrist is called the beast. Jesus is called the lamb. Look at Revelation 19 and verse number 19. And I saw the beast. That's the Antichrist. And the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him. That's Jesus that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast, the Antichrist, was taken. He was seized. And with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he, notice this, deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both, the Antichrist and the false prophet, were cast alive into a lake of fire burning with brimstone. Pastor, there's coming a day when Antichrist, this false prophet, this deceiver, is going to be condemned forever. You say, preacher, how's it going to happen? Now, folks, listen to me very carefully. Have you ever thought how the rapture might occur? And by the way, there is nothing that has to happen before it could occur. Matthew 24 says, on the day that this event occurs, two are going to be grinding at the mill. One's going to be taken, the other's going to be left. Two brother kindred are going to be in the same bed, one's taken, the other's left. You say, what does that mean? It means the day Jesus comes back in that event called the rapture and takes out of this earth only those that are saved, two people are going to be working together. Can you imagine it this way, the day Jesus comes back? Two men are working at a workbench. The man here is unsaved. The man here beside him is saved. The man over here who's unsaved is working on the workbench. He thinks, I need to reach over here and pick up a certain tool. And he turns to pick up that tool and thinks, no, I need to say something to my coworker. And he turns to that man who is his coworker, the Christian, and the coworker is gone. Lying there on the ground are some shoes and some socks and some clothes and a shirt. But the man, the Christian, is gone. Why? Because Jesus has come in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. And that Christian's been snatched out of this earth. You say, preacher, do you think it's going to happen that way? It's going to happen just like that. Here's a lady, Brother Kendall. She's doing her grocery shopping. She's pushing a little grocery cart with her precious little baby in it. She decides, you know, the baby's getting a little restless, so I'm going to scoop it up and hold it in my arms. And so she's holding the baby with her left arm, pushing the grocery cart, taking items off the shelf, putting them in the grocery cart, and all of a sudden she senses a strange sensation. The little blanket she's got her baby wrapped in goes limp, and she opens up the blanket, and there's no baby there. Just a little diaper and a nice little outfit and a couple of little booties, but no baby. The baby's gone. You say, why? Because Jesus has come and gone. Sir, if you don't know Christ as Savior, if Jesus were to come in the middle of the night, you may wake up some morning and you look over to your left and that woman who's been so faithful to you and prayed for you for year after year, she's not there anymore. You think it's strange that her nightgown is lying kind of in a strange position off the edge of the bed, but you think, well, what she's done is she's gotten up early to fix me breakfast. So you get up and shave and shower, and then you walk downstairs expecting to have a breakfast there, but there is no smell of eggs, there's no scent of bacon. In fact, nothing's on the table. Well, she must be outside hanging clothes on the line, you think. So you walk outside, but the clothesline's completely bare. Back into the house you come. You pick up the telephone and you call your neighbor next door. Hey, have you seen Martha? I can't find her. No, haven't seen Martha. That's strange. She's nowhere to be found. You hang the phone up. You think, well, while I'm waiting for her to return, she must have gone on a walk. You grab the remote and you click on the television set. And on the TV is something akin to what we saw on 9/11. People are giving news reports from all over the world. People are missing, strangely missing, worldwide. And all of a sudden you realize what my wife was telling me. Jesus is coming. And husband of mine, if you don't get saved, you're going to be left behind. You realize it's true. Jesus has come and gone. And you have been left behind. Now, Pastor, someone told me best interpretation is a sanctified imagination. I've tried to imagine what our U.S. government's going to do the day the rapture occurs. Can you see them? Phones ringing off the hook, people missing worldwide, all over the United States. There's crashes of automobiles. Not maybe as many as we'd like to think, but enough. And so they're ringing the White House. Get the president up. Get the president up. And so one of the presidential aides goes down to the residence section of the White House and bangs on the door trying to get the president up. He's got to wake up. Finally, there's no response. They go in. The president's not there. You say, preacher, why? Folk, if our president is a believer like he says he is, he's going up in the rapture. So they convene their meeting. All the senators, pastor, and the congressmen that are anybody are at that meeting. You got Joe Biden there. You've got Ted Kennedy there. You've got Hillary Clinton there. You say, you mean, preacher, those people aren't going up to be with Jesus? Not unless they get saved. Now, I'm not being unkind. I'm just telling it like it is. And around the table are all these people. And they start discussing what's happened. What are we going to say to the American public to quell what's about to become hysteria? Can you hear one of those guys, pastor, as a senator or a congressman, who says, you know what? As a boy in my home state of Mississippi, I used to go to church. And I used to hear my preacher get up and talking about an event. He said, I think he called it the rapture when Jesus came back and he took out only those who had been saved, everybody else left behind. And he described something like this. Do you reckon this could be it? Can you imagine if those senators sent a page to the Library of Congress and they pulled a dusty copy of the scriptures off the shelves of the Library of Congress and, pastor, they are still there. I've seen them. Blew the dust off of it. And even knew where to look. And found 1 Thessalonians 4 and realized, you know what? This is what's happened. Jesus has indeed come. Can you imagine when one of them is appointed to be the one that goes, pastor, in front of the podium with the presidential seal and all the microphones, ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, all of them right there. And he's going to be the one that's going to address the world and say what's happened. Can you see one of those senators or congressmen walk up into that podium with the lights blaring on their face? And man, they don't look confident and arrogant. They're troubled and disturbed. Can you hear them as they say to the American public and the world just four words? We have missed it! We've missed it because Jesus has come and he's gone. An American public, we've been left behind. Left behind according to what we just read in the Bible. to go through 7 years of hideous hell on earth. Left behind to watch this person called the Antichrist walk out onto the stage of human history and begin to work his deception. You say, preacher, is it going to happen like that? Going to happen just like that. Now, friend, let me ask you something. If this event right here that Kendall stood in for were to occur in the next 5 minutes, would you go up to be with Jesus? Have you been saved? Do you know you'd go up to be with Jesus? Father, I want to thank you so much for giving us enough information in your word about end time events, about this person that you call in your word the Antichrist. Lord, we know not everything, but we sure know enough that after tonight, we don't have to be left in the dark. Father, I pray you'd help us from this night on to be sober, vigilant. Lord, may we be about your business. May we be about getting the good news of what you can do, Lord Jesus, in a person's life to everyone we can possibly get the message to. Knowing, Lord, that that event called the rapture will occur one day. And it could be before we leave this property. We don't know. Father, may we be busy, though, until you come back. And Lord, may we share the good news with as many as we can and see some of them come to know you, Savior. And for this, oh God, we're going to thank you. Bless this pastor now closes this part of the service. And Lord, bless the activities that follow. May it be a blessing to those that have come. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.